Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the NXT Energy Solutions Investors Conference Call to discuss 2016 annual results. I would now like to turn the meeting over to Mr. George Liszicasz. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you very much. Welcome to today's investors conference call hosted by NXT Energy Solutions. My name is George Liszicasz, President and CEO, and with me today is our management team, Beth Stewart, CFO, Sajid Said, our Director of Global Business Development, and Todd Chakri, our Director of Operations. The purpose of today's call is to briefly discuss the highlights of our last week release of the annual report to shareholders, which I hope you have had the chance to review, followed by an update of our ongoing business. This conference call, of course, contains forward-looking information, so that we therefore caution you that with the standard disclaimer that such information is, by its nature, uncertain and often uncontrollable, and therefore future results may vary from any estimates and expectations. I will now ask Beth to discuss our Q4 and annual 2016 financial results.
Thank you, George, and welcome everyone. On the SEDAR system in Canada and on EDGAR in the USA, you can find our 2016 annual report, which includes the MD&A and the related audited financial statements for the year ended December 31st, 2016. All amounts discussed today are in Canadian dollars unless otherwise noted. For the fiscal year 2016, our operating results were revenue of 1.45 million that related to an expansion of the 2015 survey project for YPFB in Bolivia. Total expense, excluding tax, for the year of 10.2 million dollars and a net loss after tax of approximately 9.1 million or 0.17 per share based on the 53.7 million common shares outstanding. It should be noted that the loss of 9.1 million includes non-cash expenses of roughly 2.9 million, which relate to amortization and stock-based compensation expense. The 2016 results also reflected a net cost of 640,000 incurred as a cost of ownership of the aircraft. This total is after deducting revenues from charter operations of approximately 560,000 dollars. Our charter revenue provided roughly 150,000 dollars of profit towards the operating cost of the aircraft. At the end of 2016, we took the aircraft out of charter operations in order to prepare it for the Sri Lanka project. This involved the early completion of a major inspection that would ensure the aircraft's serviceability throughout the course of the survey. Since the commencement of the survey has been delayed, we're pleased to report that the aircraft is now back in service and available for charter. The costs of the inspection will not be incurred again in 2016 unless we undertake a major survey project. G&A costs of 5.6 million compared to 5 million in 2015. Roughly 300,000 dollars of this increase is due to the Bolivian branch office costs that were allocated to the YPFB survey project in 2015, but which were included in the G&A costs for 2016. The remainder of the variance is attributable to termination costs of employees in Q2, which we've previously discussed. You may also recall in the last investor call, we discussed the total G&A costs in Q3 of 1.1 million, which was a significant reduction from Q2. We're very pleased to report that the comparable Q4 G&A costs remained at this lower level, and we anticipate they will continue as such going forward. At the end of the year, we had approximately 1.9 million in cash and short-term deposits. The net cash outflow in Q4 was 1.4 million, and for the year, the total was 7.2 million. We are monitoring our cash reserves very closely and post year-end have taken some important steps to ensure our ability to meet our ongoing obligations. Of note, we have entered into a binding sale and leaseback arrangement on our aircraft, which is expected to complete later this month. The proceeds from this transaction will be approximately $2.7 million, and further information on this can be found in the MD&A. We have also taken steps to defer some or all of the cash payments to our employees, directors, and advisory board members until such times as our liquidity position improves. And finally, should the need arise, we will also be able to draw up to $500,000 on a binding promissory note provided to us by our CEO. We believe these measures, along with continued monitoring of general expenses and deferral of these wherever possible, will enable us to meet our obligations for at least a further 12 months. This leads us into our main discussion topic today, and George will continue with an update on the business.
Thank you very much, Bev. So that means contracts. Before we continue with the business opportunities update, I would like to take a minute to reflect on some of the accomplishments we have made in 2016. The most notable were graduation to the TSX exchange in March. We strengthened our management team with the addition of Todd and Bev. We have progressed our patent applications such that we were awarded the first international patent in early 2017, and we anticipate the award of more during the course of the year. By the end of 2016, we completed the development, manufacture, and testing of new generation of SFD sensors that provide enhanced detection ability and increase the efficiency and accuracy of the interpretation process. And finally, we made significant progress in the development of algorithms to model SFD signals. We now continue with the business opportunities update. On our last conference call, we discussed our business development strategies regarding new markets and prospects. As you may recall, we have been working diligently to strengthen our pipeline of opportunities and made some excellent progress on the business front. It is important to note, however, that the number of business opportunities are also subject to political and or government processes that we cannot influence, and therefore are subject to changes and delays that we cannot predict. The information that we will provide you today is to the best of our knowledge, but it may be subject to change in the future. We were delighted to announce the Project Shine proposal in early September 2016. It was initially expected that the necessary approvals would be received by December 16, and although we have met all the required business milestones, we still await the final project award. However, we are still confident that the project will proceed, but we cannot predict with any certainty when this may be, as it is subject to factors out with our control, such as security-related permits related to flight operations over the project area. We are monitoring the situation daily and closely, and we can report that these delays we have encountered thus far are due to process and procedure, and we do not have any evidence to suggest that the contract will not be awarded. As you know, our mainstream strategy in the past has been to target NOCs, as they are considered to be an excellent potential market for our services. We still hold this view. However, given that projects with such organizations are generally subject to delays and uncertainties that are out of our control, we are also actively interacting with the global oil and gas community to secure contracts in order to create a firm foundation and steady continued flow of revenue. With the addition of key technical and operational personnel late 2015 and 16, we have now been able to position the company such that we have a number of complementary service offerings. We have begun to see some positive traction in these areas. Specifically, I would like to mention four areas of opportunities that we would like to share with you, and these are multi-client data sales. And of course, you know, any of these new areas that we are working on, you're welcome to ask questions, more specific questions, in the Q&A. Sole source surveys, consulting services, and the data library sales. So let's discuss the multi-client data sales first. We are awaiting final approval to conduct a multi-client SFD survey for the June 2017 Mexican bid round. This bid round centers on 15 blocks that are located in shallow waters in the Gulf of Mexico. CNH, the Mexican Hydrocarbon Commission, has confirmed that they see tremendous value in having our SFD information included in their data room and have encouraged us to reach out to the 25 qualified registered bidders to facilitate our multi-client program. Original Pemex data is now part of the CNH data room. So the work that we have done in 2012-2013, the result of that now became a part of the integrated data package that is now available to all the companies that includes majors, super majors, and various mid-sized corporations. As we mentioned earlier, we are drawing on the experience and extensive industry contacts of our team and have to date conducted numerous meetings in Houston and Mexico City with oil and gas companies who have expressed an interest in our multi-client package. We can provide greater detail or greater level of detail during the Q&A. This has also led to discussions on performing sole source projects, which further illustrates the recognition and demand of our unique technical capabilities. NXT also have been asked or solicited by a number of oil companies to submit technical consulting proposals for data integration. So that would fall under our consulting services division, including seismic and well data sets, potential field data, and in certain cases, SFD data sets as well. This line of work also increases awareness of NXT and our SFD technology in the marketplace, and it's fully complementary with our core business. The other aspect that we mentioned or potential revenue-generating scheme is the data library sales. As we have reported on previous calls, we are still seeking to sell data to our customers in Bolivia. We have overcome the significant procedural delays and have now received further confirmation from the customer that indicates the sale of roughly $500,000 will go ahead in the near future. We also have a number of opportunities to license our extensive library in Colombia, Argentina, and other countries to interested parties in North America. It is important to note that while we are working on these newer initiatives, we have not lost sight of the major projects that we have discussed on previous calls. We are still pursuing these longer-term opportunities in Ghana, Senegal, Malaysia, and the Dominican Republic, and we'll be providing updates on each of these as they develop. In conclusion, although 2016 did not produce the financial results that we hoped for, we are pleased with the progress we made in the technical and business developments and the award of the patent and the continued improvement in our pipeline of opportunities. We are on track to deliver results with our strategy of focusing on contracts worldwide. Our objective remains the same, to produce a steady revenue stream going forward. Thank you all for your continued support and belief in NXT. I now ask our operator to open the line for us to take a few of your questions. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. We will now take questions from the telephone lines. If you have a question and you're using a speakerphone, please lift your handset before making your selection. If you have a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. If at any time you wish to cancel your question, please press the pound sign. Please press star 1 at this time if you have a question. There will be a brief pause while participants register for questions. Thank you for your patience. The first question is from Peter Mork. Please proceed, sir.
Hey, guys. Thanks again for the call. I thought I'd start off with a similar topic just that I asked you guys about on the last call. And that's if we look at, you know, your latest investment presentation on the website, you have a, you know, you guys have done a good job laying out the pipeline. But given that there's 2 months there, I just was wondering what, you know, Sri Lanka looks like it's number one on that slide, then Bolivia, then Mexico. If we talk about the four different, you know, revenue possibilities that George was alluding to, what's moved since there? Where does the multi-client survey fit? Where did the data sale fit in there? And any kind of color you give around that. Thanks.
Thank you, Peter. This is Sajid over here. I will answer a part of your questions, and then I'll hand it over to Todd to speak a little bit more about the other aspects with regards to data sales and multi-client. Firstly, with Sri Lanka, I would like to remind everyone that we had submitted the official proposal in September to the government over there, and we made a news release, which was also released by the government of Sri Lanka, on accepting our proposal. It's 6 months since then. We were given a very clear plan and layout from the customers, the potential customers, which is the government of Sri Lanka, with regards to business milestones that we need to achieve in terms of technical presentations, approvals that we need to get. And thus far, we have accomplished each and every single one of them. They had laid out a complete plan and business milestones, as I said. However, they did warn us of potential delays due to procedures and government bureaucracies. So we were aware of that, but however, we are very pleased with the progress that we have made. We have delivered everything that we had to deliver. And if there's a checklist of 100 items, I would comfortably say we are way past 95% of it. We are waiting for a couple of approvals with security related, which is beyond our control. And we have been asked to wait patiently till they get these approvals before a formal award has been given. So we are very pleased, and as George had already mentioned in a statement, we don't see any reason for this project not to be awarded to it. So we remain very confident and steadfast in bringing this home and very soon. Unfortunately, we will not be able to speak intelligently about a timeline for this right now. We have made considerable progress in Mexico as well, and with regards to data sales. Before I hand it over to Todd to speak about this a little bit more, I would like to again bring everybody's attention that this has been an ongoing project for NXT for quite some time. We were very focused on diversifying and increasing our revenue streams. As George had made a promise many moons ago that we are committed to taking the lumpy revenue off and having more revenue streams and focusing on increasing our revenue potential as opposed to having all the eggs in one basket in terms of focusing on NOCs. Hence, with bringing the right staff on board, with the right talent, with the right contacts and industry people such as Tal and Enrique and other geophysicists we have in this company, and being armed with a patent, we are better positioned and much stronger now that we can approach the mid-level, small E&P companies and the majors and super majors alike and speak to them on equal platform and project ourselves. And hence, we have rolled up the complete multi-client project, and I'll pass it on to Todd to speak a little bit about the data sales and the multi-client project.
And Sajid, before I let you go, just on Sri Lanka. So, I mean, we have a contract with a private company. It's just waiting for the approvals, right? And so the next step on Sri Lanka then is going to be, we have the contract. What would be the announcement that we see from you guys? Is there an LOI? Is it the planes over there flying? What's the next step that you would expect when you get these approvals that you guys are looking for?
Thank you, Peter. What we are waiting for right now is a formal award of the contract, asking us to execute the program. Once we have the formal award, we will have clear timelines as to when we can start flying and have this executed, basically. So it's going to be a formal award from the authorities of Sri Lanka asking us to go ahead with the project and start acquiring the data.
Okay, thanks.
Todd?
thank you, Peter. So as George and Sajid have pointed out, we have launched or have rolled out our shallow water Mexican bid round multi-client proposal to the 25 registered or qualified registered companies that sit currently on the CNH website. The rationale behind this is that, you know, when we're working in the Gulf of Mexico or these large areas, to do a one-off SFD program would be extremely expensive and costly to the producers that are working in the region. So we felt it was appropriate to design a program whereby we could help them lower their finding and development costs in relationship to something that they were already very used to. So when working in these types of areas, they're used to multi-client data as it relates to seismic and other materials that are provided. So what we did is we designed a program to encompass the 15 blocks that were posted, and on the heels of that, set up meetings with contacts we had in Houston with, as Sajid has pointed out, with small, medium, and large companies, and those companies that, again, are registered for that bid round. So we have met over the last 6 weeks as we launched this project. We have met with numerous companies that have shown and expressed interest in our technology and interest in the multi-client program. But one of the things that has also come from this is that we have also identified and have been asked to propose or design sole source jobs, so one-off jobs for companies that are working in regions in the United States, you know, in Latin America and elsewhere that go beyond the multi-client. So our intent was to go in and tell folks about our technology and the offering that we have and introduce the multi-client. But what it has spawned is additional opportunities beyond the multi-client. So as I said, sole source jobs. We also have interest from numerous oil companies in the United States that have activities in Colombia and Argentina, and some that are looking at Bolivia, and looking at the fact that our data set is available and available to market to these companies. So there's been a large expression of interest. So this is helping us, you know, further create a foundation beyond what the company's done historically. And we're extremely confident. It's been very well received, and we're just working to finalize some of the questions that have been asked of our clients as it relates to the technology. And once that's completed, we feel very confident that we'll be able to execute this project in the very near term.
One more question. I'll jump back in the queue, but that was helpful. Todd, just being kind of the new kid on the block, you've been here, 6 months or so. How, you know, historically there's been, it feels like some resistance, specifically with like bigger companies and whatnot being part of these. Obviously, if they're in part of the bid round, these are large companies that are, that you guys are presenting to. Just kind of the reaction, you know, the science and whatnot. Are you getting much pushback? And then I don't know if this is for George or Todd or anyone, but the one on that pipeline, there was one thing that you guys brought up or George mentioned was Dominican Republic, and that was, you know, one that I don't see listed. Just kind of why was that country singled out?
Oh, I can touch on most of it. So, you know, I really can't speak to, you know, a lot of what the company's done prior to my arrival, but, you know, I think if there's resistance at oil companies in the past, I would say it's, you know, getting to the right people and the decision makers. And I think that the meetings that we have had with these companies over the last 6 weeks, Peter, have been extremely fruitful because we are actually meeting with the decision makers of these companies. So when we're getting an audience to present our technology and our offering in the Gulf in the Mexican bid round, these people are not bringing one or two geophysicists or geologists to meetings. We had, you know, we've had meetings where we've had upward of, you know, 20 people participating from different locations throughout the United States. Yes, they do have questions because, you know, a lot of, you know, everybody has their expert in a specific area, whether it's gravity, whether it's whatever, and those people are participating in these meetings. And, you know, we have worked diligently to bridge the gap of their understanding by which they've been used to for the last 10 or 15 years. So I wouldn't suggest it to be pushback. I would suggest it more to, they have a curiosity to better understand because they do recognize the value add that we bring. We've had numerous customers say they see the value in SFD. They just need to have, you know, a little bit better understanding, which our team, along with George, have worked to answer those questions to their satisfaction. And, you know, the next step is to get these folks signed up. Now, as it relates to the Dominican Republic, back in 2014, the company did have some initial discussions with the appropriate governing bodies in the Dominican Republic. And as such, you know, there was an opportunity or a perceived opportunity to conduct an SFD survey down there. And there was numerous meetings that had taken place. But in light of the commodity price and some of the things that took place, those discussions broke off. Our team, you know, was looking back on some previous presentations that had been done. And as a result, came across the Dominican Republic presentation that had been given and some of the discussions thereof. So we as a team decided let's take this opportunity to reach back out to the parties that had previously been involved in the government in the Dominican Republic. And we were met very receptively, and there was a great deal of interest because the Dominican Republic, like any developing country, has had a difficult time in attracting people to a prospective bid round. So we have put some information together for them where we could assist not only as providing SFD, but based on the strength of our technical team, geophysically and otherwise, and the level of experience we have in other areas such as seismic, et cetera, we are in discussions with them currently to act as, if you will, general contractor to help them facilitate and us oversee the accumulation of SFD data, then seismic data, accumulation of well log data, so that we can help them or assist them in preparing the appropriate package that they can introduce to companies in an effort to help them stimulate their hydrocarbon growth for the Dominican Republic. So this is something that started, you know, in early January and has really started to take on some positive momentum. And I would expect that George will be, looking at some type of an announcement along with other things we're doing here in the near future. But, we've had numerous technical presentations with all levels of government and ministry with the Dominican Republic and have been exceptionally well received.
Would that be, I know I said last question, but this will really be, is that a multi-client type model Gulf?
No, this wouldn't be a multi-client. What we would end up doing is this would be a sole source project with exclusivity to NXT and the Dominican Republic to develop a package of multi-client data, which we would oversee and help the deployment thereof, that can be put into the Dominican data room, which we would also help control so that parties such as, large integrated oil and gas companies could come, very similar to what's taking place in Mexico currently by way of CNH. The Dominican Republic really launched their hydrocarbon platform in 2012, I believe, and albeit they have numerous people in that department, they're still in the early stages of understanding how they can properly assimilate this data so they can be put in a platform whereby they can attract bidders to either on or offshore opportunities that exist through a licensing round. So we would really, at the end of the day, as general contractor, not only accumulate and oversee the gathering of this data, but also be involved in the distribution and managing of how that data is viewed by potential oil and gas companies. So, you know, this would be a tremendous opportunity for NXT, because coming into the data room, you would have to interact with us, you know, from a perspective of understanding the data. It could also add to our consulting platform that George spoke of earlier, in the sense is that we may be contracted to assist from a consulting perspective and helping advise to some of these companies that may not, after the downturn, have the infrastructure to properly address these bid rounds, and so there's opportunity there as well.
What's the approximate size, revenue-wise, of this opportunity, just so I can put it in perspective with what else is out there?
I just, at this point in time, I would prefer not to suggest that, if you don't mind, just because we are still in the early stages of discussion. But I would leave that part of it to. I think you'll get a sense of that fairly soon, Peter.
Okay, sounds good. All right, thanks, guys.
I just wanted to mention, you know, so that would include a management fee for overseeing all these activities separately, and also SFD contracts and so on. So there are several basins there. We are putting together the whole geological and geophysical package, and we are going to provide the lead technical advisor. We are going to be on this project as well. Incidentally, that is happening right now, the same in Mexico, when Todd and Enrique were down there the last time, and they had a meeting with CNH, and CNH would like to see something very similar. So it's very interesting that NXT now is getting into this type of position, you know, as a technical advisor that would include this entire global oil and gas community. We are meeting with the Mexican Petroleum Institute in that regard as well. They would like to really push the SFD technology in the Gulf of Mexico, help us, you know, to set up contacts, set up meetings for us, and also within Pemex as well, you know, to request Pemex to release the drilling results, you know, that have not been done to date, which are absolutely significant. And for us, it, of course, the people who are participating in the bid round, the 25 companies, they know what we have achieved, but the world doesn't know, because we are not allowed to disseminate that information, which would be very, very useful and very positive for us. So we are still need to answer the, I think the multi-client is answered, the Dominican Republic is answered, data sales, we are continue doing that in Latin America, all the data to several oil and gas companies in North America who are interested in now acquiring that data.
Sounds good. Thanks, guys.
You're most welcome.
Thank you. Once again, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad if you have a question. The next question is from Al Collier. Please proceed.
Hello, team. Thank you for the quarterly call and information and your hard work. I have a question about the Sri Lanka project. When that gets going, as far as what sort of cash outlays would be required initially, and I think Bev had mentioned that Canada had a sort of an export loan program that would cover some of that. Could you kind of let us know how that cash would work?
Hi, Hal. Yes, so with the Sri Lanka contract, the way it's been structured is that we would actually be required to put a 10% bond in place. And as soon as the bond was in place, which would be about just under $3 million US dollars, they would then make the first payments under the contract to NXT prior to our taking off from Calgary Airport. So we would actually receive 40% of the total contract proceeds up front prior to takeoff, which would more than cover our cost of performing the survey. In terms of putting up the money for the bond, we do have a line of credit with EDC, which is Export Development Canada, as you said, and they will guarantee any bond that we require to be issued up to about $4 million through our Royal Bank of Canada facility. So we wouldn't actually need any sort of upfront cash availability in order to kick off the project. So we would issue the bond backed by EDC, and then we would receive 40% from our client in Sri Lanka, and that would cover the cost of the survey and a bit more. I'm not going to say how much.
Excellent. Excellent. Sounds good. Thank you. That answers my question.
Good.
Thank you, Al.
Thank you. There are no further questions registered. Oh, sorry. We do have a couple of questions that just came up. The next question is from Jerome Haas. Please proceed.
Congratulations on the quarter, and thanks very much in your preface remarks for identifying some of the accomplishments in 2016, because it may not have been obvious to many of the shareholders. So I'd like to talk about costs versus revenues. So if we look over the last 4 years, there's been essentially one major contract during that period. Out of the 16 quarters, you've only had reported revenues in four of those 16. So when we look at your cost structure and the number of bodies that you have in Calgary, we kind of wonder, if you haven't had a contract that you've flown since mid last year, what is everybody doing in the Calgary office? It doesn't seem there's a lot of people that are involved in sales. And so when we look at your cost structure, in which you essentially lost $9.1 million last year on sales of $1.1 million or $1.4 million, at what point do you start to streamline your costs with your contract basis?
We're trying to figure out who should start. Thank you very much, Jerome. We are doing cost reduction. And as you heard, and deferred payments and so on and so forth. One thing that we need to understand is that to train SFD interpreters is 2 years. So to let people go, you have to be very careful about it. And we are willing to undertake that, so we are not shying away from it. At the same time, we also have to understand that all the data sales that we are talking about, they are dependent on identified prospects, and we are talking about 70,000 to 100,000 square kilometer line kilometers that have to be interpreted in order to do that. Actually, I will ask Todd, you know, to discuss that, what's happening on the Canadian side, and you had a good talk with him as well about that. So in order for us to let people go, we have to be very, very careful, because it will take the training 2 years to do that. And Beth would like to say something as well before Todd says.
Sorry, I'm going to butt in on Todd, because normally he butts in on me. So before Todd does talk, Jerome, just to answer your question, what do we all do here? We've got 18 people in the office here in Calgary, at least three of them. Are focused almost entirely on technical development. In fact, I think it's actually four people are actually focusing on development of the algorithms and working with the sensors and building new sensors, designing them, and working with the patent authorities to make sure that our patents, or patents, as you guys say over here, are progressed. So there's a lot of technical support and work that's done here, as well as the actual operational side of things. And as George said, the data interpretation is not something you can just pick off people off the street and hire. So although we do have, I think it's four data interpretation people at the moment, and that is their sole focus, a lot of them are working on previous surveys that have been done and packaging the data up so we can sell it for the data sales and the data rooms. We are undertaking, as George said, a fairly stringent cost-cutting and cost-deferral plan going forward, and the overhead, or the G&A, has come down significantly quarter-on-quarter since the first couple of quarters of last year. So I do appreciate your concern about the costs. As CFO, I take far too strict a look at it. But we are taking steps to make sure that we stay within our budgets, we stay within our timetables, but we retain the skills that we absolutely have to have for when we do get a contract.
Yeah, well, so just to that extent, we're just going to continue answering your question first, Jerome, then. So we have also these major projects that are coming. So if they do come, let's say, then you're going to be diversifying, and you have to have the bodies to do the interpretation and the acquisition part. And also we have more people in the sales now, even though the people did not the ones that we hired for specifically for sales, they did not work out because it is not a simple sales process. And now we have Todd, and now we have also Enrique. And so besides Sajid, you know, they are working with him as well as providing other operational and technical support in G&G, depending on whom we are talking about. So all these things are extremely important for us, you know, to we are building something for success. I don't think that we have departed from the from generating as much revenue as possible. And we are very, very pleased to have Todd and Enrique coming from the industry due to the downturn in 2014. And I would like to ask Todd, you know, just to talk about the initiatives that we have in Canada.
Good afternoon, Jerome. So just touching on one of George's comments, when NXT performed SFD surveys, those surveys sat under an exclusive period. And in most cases, the data that's been recorded in Western Canada, close to, I think it's 40,000 kilometers of data, is now off exclusive. So when I first became involved, you know, I started to investigate the data set, and as we kind of peeled it back a bit, we started to realize in NXT's previous life that NXT had and participated in operations that were oil and gas related. And to the degree whereby NXT has interests in lands in Western Canada that are operated by some major oil and gas producers here in Calgary. And as such, those oil and gas producers, instead of allowing those lands to expire, and obviously we were contributing our proportionate share to that, those lands are still held in partnership with NXT and others. What had further been done as a result of its previous life is that NXT, based on the anomalies that had been identified through these 40,000 linear kilometers that had been flown, had undertaken and looked at areas that they saw as prospective that could potentially bring value to its to the unit holder or shareholders, and had licensed data in better than 12, what I would say better than 12 prospect areas. So if we were to look at it in relationship to, the land holdings, there are 12 prospect areas that we are firmly investigating right now and have been in some discussions with those partnered landholders to see if there's a way and a means that we can monetize these areas, and then through further interpretation by our staff, look at areas where we can bring other value to that partnership or look at ways and means to utilize work that had been done and cost had been incurred so we can roll out an opportunity or opportunities that would require very little capital as we continue our discussions with E&P companies. So the technical team is hard at work doing multiple things, this being one of them, by seeing if we can't identify additional opportunities adjacent to areas where we already have land and a license to utilize seismic in these areas.
The reality is that you ramped up your overhead in Calgary in anticipation of contracts that haven't come. And, you know, in the last 2.5 years, you've eaten through basically 2 years' worth of cash that was sitting in your balance sheet. So at some point, there has to be a realization by the management and board that you need to cut your costs, as the rest of Calgary has done in a very dramatic fashion. And as a consequence of that, you know, you've basically weakened your balance sheet to the point where you have to go and start selling assets like your plane.
So to answer that, I think, I'm not quite sure what the question was, Jerome, but just to come back.
No, our question is, at what point are you, great that you're finally taking some minor steps. I think these are far overdue, and I don't think they're strong enough, quite frankly.
So I think on one of the previous calls, one of your questions to us actually was about the aircraft and why we hadn't financed it. And at the AGM in California last year, one of our intentions was stated then that we would like to get a sale and leaseback deal on the aircraft to make better use of our capital. It took us a while to do that, but we've achieved it. So I'm taking the aircraft deal as actually a positive, and it's something which we, you know, would have liked to have done earlier, but it's just taken us time to find the right partner for that.
I'm not going to give you any kudos for the plane. The plane never should have been bought in the first place. You should not give yourselves any credit for purchasing that airplane.
I wasn't asking for credit, Jerome. We were just saying that it is something that we've been trying to do, and we've achieved that. So that's one thing that we were always planning on doing regardless. In terms of cutting costs, we have undertaken a significant cost-cutting plan. You will not have seen the benefits of it in the 2016 results, but as 2017 progresses, I think you will see the benefit of not just cost-cutting, but obviously cash deferral as well. And that's the main thing at the moment. Cash is king. And we are taking pretty severe steps at the moment to defer as much of our costs as we possibly can, either cancel them out completely or defer them until our cash flow improves. Our average burn rate last year was $1.8 million a quarter, and we're going to get that down to at least a minimum of $1.2 million, if not lower. And that's a pretty significant cutback. That's like 25% of your costs. So we think we're making some pretty good measures here. I've taken some good measures. And if it works out that it's not enough, then we'll take more. But we're still pretty confident that we're going to get a good contract at some point in the future, hopefully sooner rather than later, and we don't want to take away all our qualified and competent staff that leaves us in a position we can't actually execute the contracts when they happen.
Switching gears, on your website, you have a presentation dated February 2017. On slide 12, you talk about NXT's pipeline of contract opportunities. Now, if I'm not mistaken, your headquarters is in Calgary, Alberta. And in Western Canada, they do a little bit of oil and gas there. Todd did make some reference to it earlier in the call. But I guess my question is, why do you not have anything in your pipeline in Western Canada? And why haven't you in the past?
One of the answers is that in Alberta, for example, there are over 700,000 wells drilled. Okay, it's about 25,000 in South Arabia. So that, just to put it into perspective, billions of dollars of seismic have been shot both in British Columbia and in Alberta. It is not the primary target for NXT to do client surveys. Now, that doesn't mean that we cannot do the vertical type of work that Todd was talking about, utilizing all our knowledge and information that we already have and integrate it with some of the companies operating here in Canada. So that's one, because basically these basins are basically already mature basins.
Great. Thank you.
Well, and Jerome, if I may, just touching further on George's comments, we have had some discussions, albeit, you know, preliminary discussions with some oil and gas companies in Calgary. And, you know, as was mentioned earlier, you know, our marketing force is a bit thin right now, but we will be and are, you know, and will continue to reach out to our industry contacts here. to design opportunities that they would see as being beneficial. There's a number of companies that we've talked to, but you know, one of the key things that is taking place in Western Canada, and we, you know, if we're going to go out and offer our services to those, you know, in the Calgary area or, you know, Alberta, British Columbia, or Saskatchewan, you know, we have to come forward with a plan and a proposal that would be embraced by these parties, because currently what's taking place in the Western Sedimentary Basin, you have companies that have been here for a very long time exiting the basin and moving into the U.S. and other areas that have greater potential. And you also have, you know, a limited number of companies that are operating here. Back, you know, if you go back 7 or 8 years, you had small, medium, and large cap companies. And, you know, the small caps are few and far between. Mid cap companies, I would say few and far between. And most of the companies right now, with the exception of those that are exploring in, say, Saskatchewan, are focused in on areas like the Duvernay and the Montney, which are plays that, in the case of the Montney, is relatively understood by those operators, such as, say, Progress / Petronas or Painted Pony or some of the other operators that are working in British Columbia. And then, you know, if you take the Duvernay, that is probably the hottest spot being explored right now in Alberta. So. And that's where, you know, people seem to have access to funding. So we have to look beyond those two areas to be able to introduce areas that had been, you know, somewhat profitable to companies in the past to redesign, you know, SFD projects to go in on a multi-client perspective and start to stimulate those types of activities. So take a bit of a different approach than what had been done historically. So, you know, we are working behind the scenes to see if we can't get, as you know, we discussed, some of that low-lying fruit that may exist in Western Canada and put to what we talked, George had mentioned earlier, you know, stimulate and create, you know, a foundation of sustained revenue and utilization of the aircraft.
So while they may not be as large as Saudi Arabia, they are in your backyard. And to Bev's point about reducing costs, why not start marketing and hitting a few singles in your own backyard rather than trying to hit the home runs in Saudi Arabia or Sri Lanka or Pakistan or Mexico?
And I think we tried to touch on that earlier, is that, you know, albeit we're having meetings in Houston and we're having meetings in Mexico and some of these other areas, you know, I want, you know, everybody to recognize the fact that we are talking with companies here in Western Canada and reestablishing NXT, you know, with relationships that they've developed over time. Because, you know, if you go back prior to 2008, you know, there are companies that utilize the technology, and some of those that were at those companies have reapproached us in the last many, you know, in the last many months to look at projects for their new companies, but those projects happen to be south of the border. So, you know, like I said, we're not overlooking, you know, the base hits or anything to this effect in our own backyard, and we're trying to manage the process not only here but elsewhere where there is opportunity that is presented itself.
Also, General, there are technical issues here. It's a multi-zone area. It's tremendously explored. Areas where they have resource plays, we can play a role. But they understand it now, the basin, much, much better than they used to. There are very few significant opportunities here, and I brought up Saudi Arabia in terms of how many wells have been drilled, not that we want to operate in Saudi Arabia. I was just making a comparison, 700,000 wells plus drilled in Alberta today versus the 20-some thousand that were drilled in Saudi Arabia. But you are absolutely correct. We are not discounting anything here. And given the opportunities that we have and also some land positions that we have where we are basically either with the majors or surrounded by the majors, and they did not dispose of that land. Obviously, they did not dispose of that land because it carries value, which makes our position even stronger. So we are exploring that. It is just a much harder to do $200,000 surveys, and it takes an enormous amount of time just as well to those than to do $1 million or $2 million or $5 million or $20 million somewhere else. But thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from Michael Baker. Please proceed. Thank you. Mr. Baker has canceled his question. The next question is from Mike Mork. Please proceed.
Hi. One of the attractions of NXT as an investment has been that once you got to a certain size and companies realized the value of the SFD, you'd be in a position of strength where you could more or less demand a royalty or a GOR, gross overriding royalty, on what you found. It'd be kind of like you get up and you fly, and it's kind of like it's a lottery ticket every time you find something. Are any of your prospects potentially going to have a royalty or a GOR, or at what point do you think you'll be in a position of strength where you can demand that? Because that's where the true value of this thing is really going to take off.
Thank you, Mike. This is Sajid here. Yes, you're absolutely right. We are very focused on these kind of opportunities where we can get potential royalties. Some of the major projects, the bigger projects that we are working on, do have the option where NXT would have a royalty interest. And some of the data sales that we are talking about also has this potential. We are working on a number of potential clients and prospective clients over here, and we are in discussions with them where NXT would fly and gather the data, and some of the prospects that we would identify, we would also have a royalty interest. It all depends, depending on different countries, the petroleum policies. There are a lot of nitty-gritties that have to be discussed in many of these jurisdictions. Nevertheless, we keep pursuing them, and we are in discussions with quite a number of them with that option. One such prospect that is on our pipeline, in a pipeline, is Senegal. Senegal is where we are negotiating a royalty interest on at least the top five prospects that NXT identifies in the basin, and it's a very complex and extensive deal. But we are pursuing them. We are in line with the vertical concept that we had in mind, and we are always focused towards increasing that opportunity where, as and when it comes in. But having said that, although the time's taking and an extensive project because we're dealing with governments, we're dealing with national oil companies for these kind of deals, we are at the same time also discussing with smaller companies now and smaller E&P companies as and when we see the potential where they could participate and use our survey, perhaps for a discount in exchange for a royalty. So these kind of discussions are underway right now, and as and when they materialize, we'll be talking about it a bit more in detail with you.
Okay, well, thank you.
If I could just touch on that, the stuff that we would be working on in Western Canada would automatically come with a royalty interest based on partnerships, et cetera. So that's something that, you know, we want to establish as well in our own backyard with the opportunities that we currently have as inventory.
That's true. And just I want to add one more piece to that point. As Todd mentioned, the data sales in Canada, we from the beginning, we had always planned the data sales is going to have a royalty component when we sell. So it has been designed in that format, it's been packaged and modeled in that format for sales.
Okay, well, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mike.
Thank you. There are no further questions registered at this time. I would now like to return the meeting back over to Mr. Lesseris.
Thank you very much, everybody, for participating in our investors conference call. And looking forward to the next one and giving you an update that is going to be positive. Thank you again.
Thank you. The conference has now ended. Please disconnect your lines at this time. We thank you for your participation.